A very good morning to you, and good morning Namibia, good morning my dear listener, and welcome to Eagle FM, welcome to Eagle FM, and our time, it's 2 minutes past the hour of eight, and thanks for joining us at this time. So thank you, David, for giving me the mic, and let's actually start this. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshavedi, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that making headlines. So we keep it clear here, always curious and asking the question that matters and giving you the fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark the meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So let's quickly get to, you know, I have a guest lining up at this point in time. So let's get into that. I think that's what distracting myself. So, all right, let's get into that. Okay, I will be back in a second. Stay tuned.
Omutiha with the Kirotaguna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafa and Anna Longishafa, yai, she became a shiwana. E Moyawa, or Tain Gombotis Amweni. Anna Gashafa, Yanamibia, on the Tom Banawa Omjika. Saifanina Omeguro, Nirantitoma, ye, Yongishafa, Yokopiramo, Ikelefem Media House. Gwe 22 Meneha Uka Kombanga Nena. Kara omukwashi pareki wimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira soma kona rahe katimu. Datu ndatu heri hamano tano o niyaj. Ikele fem, go high.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right. Good morning, Namibia. And welcome back to Unpacking the Day, where we dig into the stories shaping our nation. So this week, the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, NIPDB, launched what they call a definitive guide for investors. But what is this guide all about? Will it really bring foreign money into our country? Will it, you know, create the jobs our young people desperately need? To help us understand all of this, I'm joined by Catherine Shipushu, a senior manager for marketing, communication, and branding at NIPDB. Catherine, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for having me, and good morning to your listeners.
Now, let's start at the very beginning. What is this? Namibia Investment Guide, and if I'm sitting here in Ondangwa, why should I actually care about this? Why should I care about this? Yeah.
No, thank you, Mike. Launching this guide is certainly a milestone for us as NIPDB, but also for our country at large. So the Namibia Investment Guide essentially is a collection of publications that we are calling volumes, which was developed by NIPDB in collaboration with our partners from the public and private sector. The guide comprises of seven thematic units, as I said, referred to as volumes. And it's really a promotional tool that's going to help us to market Namibia as an ideal destination for investment in a way that is consistent. The NIPDB essentially is the official investment promotion agency for Namibia.
Yeah.
But we also realize that there are other players in the market that are also promoting Namibia to, you know, to the outside world, to investors. And it's important that as a country that we share the same information about Namibia, that this information is credible and it's up to date. And so this guide is going to help us essentially do exactly that, primarily. Now, for investors, one of the key considerations that they make when evaluating the potential of an investment destination is predictability.
Yeah.
From the policy framework, the tax regime, to labor relations, to mention but a few. And so having this information readily available to them, it helps them to make informed decision, number one, and also much faster. Because sometimes we get investors who are interested in investing in Namibia, but because there's certain uncertainties or there's lack of information or there are gaps in information, it takes them much longer to come to what we call making the financial investment destination. Now, as you mentioned, earlier, in the absence of a financial investment destination, we cannot create the jobs because we cannot land this investment. And so we want to really make it easy firsthand just to understand Namibia. What are the policies? How do we handle our taxes? Are you able to take out your money in Namibia, you know, once your investment matures? And so this information is really going to, or this guide is going to help us just first of all close those gaps that we've identified actually exist. And so, in essence, why should we care about this guide?
Yeah.
It's going to help us to strengthen the ease of doing business in Namibia.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to ensure predictability for our investors and also to support efforts to improve our competitiveness as a country, because we are now going to reduce certain uncertainties which we have come to realize can also be a barrier to entry into the country.
All right. So, yeah, there are certain focus, there are certain priorities that especially our president actually focuses on, for example, in agriculture, infrastructure. So how does this guide support that vision?
So this guide, or the information that is contained in this guide, cuts across all sectors. As I mentioned, we have different volumes, and I think if we have time, I can, you know, quickly give a high-level overview of each volume.
Yeah.
So in volume two, for example, we have provided a breakdown of all the priority sectors that have been identified by government, and then the investment opportunities that are available in all of these sectors. And so from the get-go, you already know if I'm interested in investing in for example, sports facilities, then it aligns very well with what the Namibian government is also seeking to do in terms of developing that particular sector. Number two, the information is also very simplified. So when you read it, it's very clear. It's also up to date. So we are definitely confident that this information is going to help us also to ground investments much faster and also investments that align with our national priorities.
Yeah. So now, you mentioned earlier that from the investor side, from the investors themselves, you know, what have they been telling you about, you know, doing business now in Namibia before this guide was developed as a guidance now for you to develop this?
Yes. You know, it's an investment destination. Namibia does fairly well. There are things that we are doing very well, but we also recognize that there's always room for improvement. And some of the improvements that we need to make, for example, are, you know, related to policy, the predictability of our policy, but also just having the right information. And having the right information consistently. Like I said, the NIPDB is not the only, you know, player in the market of promoting Namibia. There are also other private entities or private promoters, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes the challenges that investors face is, number one, they don't know where to go to look for simple information.
Yeah.
Or when they do a search, then there's a variety of information speaking about one country. And, you know, that doesn't, it doesn't inspire trust or confidence because we don't know exactly which is credible, which is not.
Yeah.
And so what we have done is to say, let's make it easy for you. Because now Namibia, the spotlight is on Namibia, right? There are multinationals that are exploring investment opportunities that are already investing here.
Yeah.
And that also evokes, you know, interest and curiosity in someone. So if they just want to get an idea of what is Namibia, there's a place where they can go, and we are very assured that whatever they read in this investment guide is exactly what we want the world to know about our country.
Yeah. So, well, as you said, we are not the only player. There are other countries, actually, or other actors are competing with Namibia. So, and what actually make us stand out from the rest? Would this be one of the aspect that would make us stand out? Or are other things that make Namibia actually stand out?
Well, Namibia, as I mentioned earlier, you know, there are areas that we are doing extremely well comparatively with other destinations, right?
Yeah.
Although we don't like to compare ourselves, but we need to see, you know, where are we? Where's our position in the market? What are we doing right? Where can we improve? Now, we ordinarily would say there are compelling reasons, you know, for an investor to choose Namibia as a destination for their capital.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, for example, is our political stability. It's been tested over time. There's clear evidence that we are a stable country. Another reason is also our financial system infrastructure. It's world class. It's benchmarked, with the best practice in the world.
Yeah.
And a key component of that is the flexibility for an investor to repatriate their profits out of Namibia, which in certain countries, it's problematic. You know, and that's why you see investors come to Namibia, they make an investment. When they get their profits, yes, they do repatriate some of them, but then they reinvest back into the country, which means there's confidence in our country, in the business environment, in our government. Of course, the other reasons is quality of life, right? Because investors are human before they are investors.
Yeah.
You know, they want to know that I can bring my family, my children to Namibia. You know, they are quality schools, there's a quality healthcare system. You know, and these are some of the things that just, you know, at basic level, somebody would look at and say, okay, I think I can make a living here. I think my family can, you know, is safe in this country. The country is safe. It's well governed. There's an independent judicial system. So these are some of the reasons that actually make Namibia an ideal investment destination.
Yeah. So you mentioned that there are different volumes, but that are covering different sectors. And there are these hot topics in Namibia at this point in time, like green hydrogen, oil discoveries, critical minerals. Does the guide speak to these emerging sectors as well?
Yes, absolutely. And I think we need to maybe also remember that the guide is a tool. It's one of the tools in our toolkit. It's also just one of the touch points.
Yeah.
There are many other ways that we promote the country. For example, targeted meetings with potential investors, creating awareness that, you know, different platforms that are available.
Yeah.
And so this is not the only thing that we are using, but what we wanted to do is just to have a starting point. And so, yes, we do break down all the sectors, and in the sectors, where possible, we also break down in terms of, in green hydrogen, What are we looking for as a country? In mining, what are we looking for as a country? So this information is set out in the guide, but the idea behind that is for you to have a basic understanding of, is there alignment between what I want to invest in and what the Namibian government is seeking? And then from there, if you are interested, then the conversation can start or can get to the next level where we can actually engage face-to-face and then dissect what your idea is and how that aligns to our national priorities.
Yeah, this is exactly what I wanted to ask you now. What happened after investor read the guide and decided that they are interested? So what is the next step for them?
So the next step, once you have read the guide, is then to contact NIPDB, which is your first point of call if you are interested in doing business in Namibia, at investor level, of course, not any business. And then from there, you know, there's a process that we follow as NIPDB. Mm. One of them, or one of the steps in that process, number one is also to vet the potential investor. Because it's also very important that we get the right people coming to do business in our country, right? Yeah. And that also, the investment is going to address our economic challenges, which is number one, youth empowerment, alleviating unemployment, helping us to develop our small businesses. So there needs to be alignment in terms of what are we seeking as a country, and then we can take the conversation further once we have sort of checked all of these boxes that we need to check before we actually get the conversation going.
Yeah, but the guide, when we talk about investors, we not only mean foreign investors, but we also mean domestic investors as well. Guide addresses both investors.
So the guide is for any person that is seeking information on how to do business in Namibia.
Yeah.
So whether you are a foreign investor or whether you are a Namibian who wants to set up a business, there is information for you, because you have to also understand that there are certain processes and regulations and policies that even if you are a Namibian wanting to open a business, you need to comply with.
Yeah.
And so this guide is going to help you with exactly that. So number one, for example, the volume one is the country profile, right, of Namibia. You know, there are people in the world who've never heard about Namibia.
Mm.
Maybe they read about Total Energies investing here and they want to know, who is this country?
Yeah.
And so in volume one, we're looking at our demographic profile, governance framework, you know, some of the reasons that make us, you know, stand out as an investment destination. And then, for example, in volume two is now where we are talking about the investment climate.
Yeah.
So what are our priority economic sectors? What are the industrial policies? What are the trade relations and other factors that you then need to know as any person operating or doing business in Namibia? That includes our MSMEs, our medium, you know, enterprises who are Namibian grown. They can also benefit from having this information.
All right. Now, if all goes as the NIPDB envisage, you know, how will you measure whether this guide is actually working? What does success look like for NIPDB?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Of course, like I said, we needed to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? And we needed to make sure that, number one, there's a consistent story and information being shared about Namibia, that we are closing the gaps where information may not have been available. So now we also want to make sure that there's a shorter turnaround time from making a final investment decision. I think for us that is very key, because some of the delays are really coming in because the person doesn't know what's your policy on industrial relations, for example. What's your policy on incentives, right? And so for us, if we want to see FID being made much faster, we also want to see a reduction in sort of your, I don't want to call them petty inquiries, but like basic inquiries, you know, where somebody is just sending you an email asking about, you know, where can I invest in Namibia? Whereas if you go on Google and you search for Namibia, that information is readily available to you. And so in the long term, that's what we want to measure. And also when we do our investor experience survey, yeah. we want to hear that it has now become easier to do business in Namibia in terms of the ease of doing business, and that our competitiveness, we are actually growing in the ranking, the world ranking for competitive investment destinations. So there are various factors that we are going to measure in the long term.
Yeah.
But for now, we really just want to see, number one, how is the industry receiving this information?
Mm.
Is it comprehensive enough? Do we need to update it? And then we make the changes if necessary.
Yeah, talking about the long term, and as we, because of time as well. So looking ahead, 5 or 10 years, what is your hope for what this guide will have helped Namibia to achieve?
Yeah, so number one, I think if you do a Google search about doing business in Africa,
yeah.
most likely than not, you'll find, you know, negative publicity and, you know, misconceptions. So number one, we really want to this guide to help us correct the misconceptions about doing business in Namibia, number one. Right? That, you know, the world out there has the correct information and it's credible and it's up to date.
Yeah.
Number two, we want obviously to evoke more interest for, you know, for investors to come to Namibia, but then we want to make that journey shorter and seamless for them.
Mm.
And we want to be able to have, you know, third party, what do they call it? Testimonials speaking to, when I went to Namibia, this was my positive experience.
Yeah.
And then, of course, all of that then translates into more investment being grounded in Namibia. That means that speaks to more jobs being created for Namibians. That also speaks to the private sector, you know, becoming bigger and our MSMEs being able to scale.
Yeah.
You know, not just scale in Namibia, but scale regionally and also internationally. So this guide is really, like I said, just a tool in our our promotion kit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it touches across various national priorities as well that I think we should be able to then measure in the long term to say, okay, this was the beginning of the journey towards, you know, further economic development for our country.
Yeah. No, and lastly, if someone wants to get hold of this guide, where do they get it? Is it online? Is it, you know, a hard copy that's available? So where do they get it?
So we have made a very conscious decision for this guide to be a soft copy in a digital form to live online.
Yeah.
Number one, it's easily accessible to anyone anywhere in the world. Number two, because there are no hard copies flying around, it's easier for us to update the information.
Yeah.
And to know that whatever information on any given day that someone accesses, it's up to date and it's credible and it's relevant. So this guide is available only online on the NIPDB website, www.nipdb.com. But we are also encouraging, you know, any other entity, private sector, public sector, to have a link from on their own website that links to this document. And also for our foreign missions, we are going to make this link available to them for their own website so that they're also able to share that information with anybody who, you know, who approaches them. Because remember, if I am sitting in a country anywhere in the world and I want to hear about Namibia,
yeah.
the Namibian embassy or high commission in that country might be the first point of call.
Mm.
So when I go to this embassy, I must still be able to get that information that is correct, that is up to date.
Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today, or joining us this morning, and for breaking down this tool that could shape Namibia's economic future. So, and to our listeners, if you want to learn more about the Namibia Investment Guide, visit the NIPDB website and reach out to their offices as well. So, Catherine, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. All right, that was Catherine Shipushu, the senior manager for marketing and communication and branding at NIPDB. I would have my line now open if you would like to you know, to react to that interview, and or your own contribution to what we have discussed so far. So our telephone number, 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So you are welcome to come through and have your reaction or your contribution to the topic.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a fat and anana, longish fa, ya, she we demo she wana. E. Moyao, or Tango got the Samweni. Anna gish fa, ya Namibia, on Pitom Banawa, Orangika. The Ethanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongish fa, Yokupitramo, Ikelefe Media House. Gwe 20 PM, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Igel FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Our time is about 28 minutes past the hour of 8. And I just had a discussion with Catherine Shipushu, the senior manager for marketing, communication and branding at NIPDB. So we're looking at the local guide to attract global, you know, and domestic investors in Namibia. And she was kind of giving us the, what is this exactly meant to do? It's actually providing Namibia and putting the country out there and the opportunities that investors can invest in the country, looking at all different sectors. And as you said, there are several, there are volumes, you know, that actually dealing with each sectors. All right, we will continue after this.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. All right. So, yeah, well, what is your reaction? What is your reaction to our discussion? As I said, we were looking at the NIPDB launched the, what is it, launched the investment guide, a guide for investors. Yeah, so, yeah, and she, Catherine, was able to explain to us what is this guide is all about and how that would actually help Namibia, actually marketing Namibia to the world and telling Namibia that, telling the world that, hey, come and invest, come and do business in Namibia because, well, first of all, we are a stable country, you know, and if you, even if you want to live here, come and live here because we are a peaceful, peaceful country, democratic country, country with laws and, you know, and policies and, you know, create that certainty because, investors, you know, they don't like, you know, they said uncertainty can be a barrier to investment, you know, and yeah, and this is one of the, I think one of the tools that would help actually lead or eliminate that aspect, to eliminate that fear, you know. So yeah, so we, let's do anything. I would say let's do whatever we do, any or the institution, to market our country, and invite investors and say, look, come into business with us. Come and do a business with us. So, yeah. And I was also talking about, also asking about the, you know, because, you know, there are some hot topics in the country at the moment, whether those has been, are also priorities, you know, in this guide, you know, green hydrogen, oil discoveries, critical minerals, because these are a hot topic at this point in time. So we need to put it out there, you know, for investors to understand what we have. All right. So, yeah. So what is your take? Well, what do you think? Otherwise, we moving forward. So 08-333-66091, 08-333-66091. If you would like to have your opinion on that matter. All right. So when we come back on this quick commercial one, we will move ahead with another.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, that's very true. This is your number one talk radio station. And this is your favorite program, Unpacking the Day. And thanks for joining us. Our time is about 34 minutes past the hour of 8. And we will ride on. We will ride on until 10 o'clock, when we'll be handing over to Tote France, coming with Kufamosha at around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in for that show as well. It's normally packed with really great insight. So make sure that you tune in that as well. And the other programs that will come in your way throughout the day and throughout the morning as well. So, yeah. All right. So, yeah, you most welcome to come through still on the first item that we discuss. We were looking at the launch of the investor guide that was launched by the NIPDB. So yeah, just to have Catherine give us a little bit breakdown of what this tools is all about. So yeah. All right. And if you just want to talk about investment, on that topic. Yeah. So, and how do we attract investment, and how is Namibia actually doing in that regard? So yeah, you're most welcome to expand that subject in whatever, you know, area you would like to, yeah, just to expand it. All right, now let's get into something else, okay? Let's get into something else. This is something very, very interesting, okay? So this is actually a story in the New Era, I think. It's in the New Era. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the smuggled fuel from Angola, affectionately known as Ngungula. Okay, we are talking about Ngungula. We're going to talk about Ngungula. Eh? We're talking about Ngungula. So, and now we're talking about Ngungula, how it's slipping past our borders and into the hands of unsuspecting, you know, consumers. Now, for those who might not know, Ngungula is a slang term, you know, it's a slang term for fuel that is being illegally smuggled from Angola, where it is much cheaper. It's much cheaper than what we pay here in Namibia. So that's Ngungula. So now it's making its way into our towns, especially town in the northern region. So now, the undercutting, one thing that we should be understanding, undercutting a legitimate business and putting our safety as well, according to the article, and putting our safety and state revenue, which is actually most important, state revenue at risk. And in this segment, we're going now to look at the story from that new era. What is happening, why it's a problem, and most importantly, you know, what needs to change to protect us and the consumers and the industry, and the fuel industry and the oil industry. So stay with us as we have got a lot, you know, to unpack. All right. So our ministry, Mines and Energy, you know, if let me just give you a broader understanding where we are. It's the body that actually regulate everything, fuel import to quality checks. You know, they are the one that do that. So the idea is very simple. You know, make sure that every liter of petrol or diesel that comes into our country is safe. Safe for our cars, safe for our environment, you know, safe for our wallet as well. You know, it should be also, it should also be safe for our wallet, you know, and nowadays, I don't think that the oil, it went down a little bit, but generally it's not safe for our wallet, you know, and the ministry, Mines and Energy Ministry, the Ministry of Mines and Energy, they have got a whole team of inspectors checking for quality at borders, storage depots, and even at petrol stations. They have this, you know, inspectors. Now, everything is supposed to meet national standard, you know, the right safer levels, octane ratings, you name it, those kind of things that they're looking at. So now, if it is off, so this operators now, if it's off, they swap in and then do their checks and impose penalties. Okay, so if everything is off, now, but here's the issue now. Okay, despite this rigorous check, smuggled Angolan fuel is still actually flooding into our market. They're still actually flooding into our market. And it's not just small. It's not just a small isolated problem. It is a booming underground industry. It is a booming underground industry. So in fact, in certain regions, especially in the north, near Oshikango, for example, have become hotspot for illegal fuels arson. I mean, yeah, has become actually a hotspot for illegal fuel sales there. So you got homestead. If you can even go to some homestead acting as a makeshift service station. Yeah? Seriously. And I'm not joking, you know, service stations and people driving long distance just to buy, you know, this cheaper, fuel. So yeah. And it's no wonder that according to report, several official service stations have actually been forced to close their doors because they are unable to compete with the low prices of smuggled fuel. So, yeah, that has been reported that there are a couple service stations that has been closed because there are that makeshift service station homestead that are acting as a makeshift, you know, service stations. So, yeah, no, seriously, I think when we look, let's look at this more objectively, not with emotions, not how that make our pocket look like, but, you know. So let's talk about what this mean for us consumers and as a country. First, it is clear that these smuggling issues create a massive revenue leak. You know, every liter of Ngungula that is sold on the street is a liter that was not taxed. I think we all understand that it's a liter that was not taxed. It did not carry the levies and fuel charges that feed into the national coffer. You know, so it did not contribute to the road maintenance funds. So it did not support the formal economy. So we have to understand that. That's why I said, let's look at this more objectively, even if it help our pocket a little bit. So when you buy Ngungula then, so this smuggled fuel, if you're just joining us and you hear Ngungula, you know, it's a smuggled, Angolan smuggled fuel. So when you buy Ngungula then, even if you think you're just saving few dollars, you know, you are unintentionally practicing, you know, not practicing, but participating in a system that denies this country its rightful revenue. You know, you understand? So, and in a country where we are constantly debating here about budget deficit and service delivery, every dollar matters. But now, unintentionally, no, you are actually participating in a system that denies our country that rightful revenue. So I just want you to think about it, seriously. So on top of that, the former retail sector is being systematically damaged. The whole sector. So because you have to think of those who are doing business legitimately. Yeah, the legitimate business owner who follow the rules. Because this smuggled one are not following the rules. So the legitimate businesses who follow the rules, who got their license, who paid their taxes, who invest in proper infrastructures, so are being now squeezed out of the they are now being squeezed out by competitors who pay nothing. By competitors who pay nothing and comply with nothing. So that is not a competition. So that's not a competition. That is a sabotage of the formal economy. And we should understand that. So Ngungula is not just an economic problem. So according to the article, it's also a safety crisis waiting to happen. So it's also a crisis waiting, which I totally agree, because this fuel is being stored. When you think about that, this fuel is being stored in makeshift facilities, you know, backyards, informal containers, you know, structure that have no fire, you know, suppression system, no proper tanks, you know, no environmental containment. Those things that you require to store fuel. So we are talking about highly highly flammable liquids stored in conditions that trained fire safety officers, they would definitely reject outright, you know, they would reject that outright. So yeah, and when you also think of the police, Eh? When you think of the police, when the police confiscate this fuel, where does it go? Eh? Where does it go? So you find that they store this at the station. It gets stored at a police station. Police stations, you know, facility designed for law enforcement, not for bulk storage of flammable petroleum product. Yeah. So when they said this is it is a safety crisis waiting to happen, you know, one can really understand. You know, one can really understand. Now, to their credit, I think to their credit, the Ministry of Mines and Energy has actually recognized this hazard and has started installing proper above ground, you know, those above ground storage tanks at police stations in affected regions, in the area that, especially area where this is more, it's more common. So more tanks are being budgeted according to the article. So, and an arrangement have been made with the licensed waste company to properly now dispose of this seized, the captured fuel. So, yeah, and to be honest, these are, when you see what the government is doing now, this is reactive measures. It's reactive measures. The fuel is already in the community before the state actually start to catch up. So it's already in there. And every day that Ngungula sit in someone's backyard in an unmarked container or something. So we are one accident away from tragedy. So as the article actually alluding. So yeah. And now, so what is the government doing about it? Okay, we hear some of the things that the government is doing. Well, the Ministry of Mines and Energy, of course, is not sitting idle by, you know, and watch this happening. So they have got fuel inspectors who go around doing a random checks and inspection at border post, petrol stations, and as I said earlier, and storage depth. So, but even with all this effort, the smuggling, you know, the smuggling fuel that to Ngungula, it's continuous. It has been continuous. It has, as I said, this is an underground, you know, industry. So it's an underground industry. And why does it continue? It comes down to a combination of factors. So maybe something that we need to look into more. For one, border control is tough, especially in the northern Namibia, where the smuggling is rampant. There's a lot of movement there, you know, there's a lot of movement back and forth, and some smugglers feel that they can get away with it because of what they see as leniency from the police, you know, and, in fact, there haven't been really any since, you know, we talk about since probably, you know, 2016, 2015, around there. So there haven't been any major report of clashes or injuries. So smugglers feel like they're in the clear. So they are in the clear. So the other thing is also price, with the price of fuel in Angola being so much lower than what we pay in Namibia. It's no surprise that so many people are tempted to jump on the back wagon and sell Ngungula for a quick profit. Yeah, so, yeah, you know, and that's an issue. So a 5 liter, for example, a 5 liter can of petrol in Angola cost just 70 Namibian dollar. A 5 liter can, you know. So while in Namibia, it's much higher. No wonder this bank, underground market is thriving, you know. So yeah, and as I said, this has really impact on a legitimate business, And let's not forget about that, that there are businesses that are playing by the rules. Okay, let's get to quickly to the caller and see what he has to say. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Are you the one who is smuggling Gungula in Namibia?
Yeah, you know, my brother, when you think of that thing, imagine yourself there.
Yeah.
Running with those containers or wherever.
Yeah.
This is a big risk, man, even to our lives.
Yeah, no, definitely. It is a big risk. Yeah.
Maybe it's only that our police, I don't know whether they are just so much kind, or perhaps they, I don't know the situation, they understand.
Sometimes in the absence of law, this is something just starting to happen. There aren't really a law of how to deal with that. You understand?
No, there are laws. They are just the same laws that are applicable to those things.
Yeah, no. When now smuggled fuel, how do you of course you arrested the person who are smuggling in this kind of thing. But in terms of now how you handle this, I think they are coming up with all the things now that they need to. Yeah. Yeah.
So it is good because even some motorists are complaining that they really damage their car.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen many people are telling me that who used to transport people and say, maybe you only realize when you experience that. And you have to remove the whole engine and wash it, and if it's not damaged, you know. But then looking at the regulation, the law, so, and the other, it's good that the private sectors who are also affected, that they are coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that they can, then not only, because most of the time we only hear the government is doing this, because the police is in front.
Yeah.
So they have to be accused, they have to be doing, and you know, and it's also very, for somebody to start running, you can't even shoot that person, you just kill the innocent person. So it's innocent in the sense that, yes, he's running with that person. But now there's no way you can shoot him, you know. So you have to think twice, and then you have not apprehended the person, and people say, no, the police are also corrupt. So now it's good that they come in. So let me go to the point of investor, tourist guide, investment guide, or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's good. Maybe they will also help us to... our local people who want to come up with this village tourism that is being spoken around.
Yeah.
And that to find, you know, so that they can create their sites, you know.
Mm.
And there are many people who, when the tourists come now, and we know that we are number one in this rank, in terms of attracting them because of the things that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Peace and all these other things. Then let them also then do these other things. To help and facilitate, because those ones are the ones who are the top there, and they know what is happening in the region. I mean, in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Many people, those ones, they talk God now.
Mm.
They know this other thing. So they just take them people to, you know, Sogop Mount, and then there to, what is it, other areas.
Yeah.
And then they pass now through in our villages. They just pass through.
Mm.
And for us, we are not seeing that potential also, an opportunity. So you make up a thing, you make it to immense, you make it the apps, to make it the Gashba to Nginari. Maybe you put an attraction. You can do it in the, what is it, the modern and traditional kind of architecture. You mix those engineers. And then when you know, it's just a transit kind of a camp or site and, which can attract the tourists, and then you put some animals there. I don't know what type of animals we used to use. used to use on the Benya machine. Then I put a tier and one and go, a tourist, eh, a pote, can then I just can't be. Take a shark around the minute, a dirty nan, eh, when I'm going to take a look at the Uganda.
Yeah.
Nintendri Nanona, a dollar, the American, the figure of the
name. Awesome.
Yeah. So I think it's a good thing, but the protection of our tourists. I don't know how those guards, they have been there. I don't know this time around whether they really improve the security. So the security clusters and all this thing has to be there seriously to make sure that the people are protected.
Yeah.
And when they move around, because we are still seeing them being harassed here in the city of Windhoek, here.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So that, you know, if you have to now use your wisdom and some kind of tactic to make sure that you intervene there.
Mm.
So the police and the guard, they must dress like the way I'm dressing like this one now.
We don't see you, Uncle Bona.
Yeah, so I'm just sitting in the civilian clothes, you know.
Yeah.
But the communication is there. There's no one who can just run from Magam's there and run up to Soperite without being apprehended or venerated. So we need to be watchful, create those kind of security network.
Yeah.
Underground, people make sure that they, when they reach in your Christmas there or wherever they are going, they are strategically people positioned there.
Yeah. No, we need to protect the sector. It's very, very, very important.
Let's see how can we create more employment. What we are saying is that let them come. So that we want to put our restaurant, local restaurants there, they come and eat your Maungu. They go to single quota there, they eat, make the environment more conducive for those traders.
Mm.
So thank you very much, man.
Thank you for coming through.
Good.
All right. Yeah, so you can come through if you would like to comment on our investment guide that has been launched by NIPDB. You're most welcome. I had a conversation earlier with Catherine Shipushu, the senior manager for communications and marketing at the NIPDB. So, right, yeah, if you have been following that interview and you would like to react to that, or generally talking about investment, you're most welcome to do that. And to now, we're talking about Gungula, one of the most important things that we should be understanding, as much as we understand, and that, well, it help our pocket, you know, there are issues that we should really also pay attention to. As I said, I was just talking about the impact on a legitimate business. So, as we shouldn't forget about that there are businesses that are playing by the rules, and the former fuel industry is taking a big hit when you have this fuel that is being smuggled in. In fact, fuel retailers in the north, in the northern Namibia, lost more than 230 million between 2016 and 2024, according to this article, because of the Ngungula, because of the smuggled fuel called Ngungula, you know, because of that. So the real problem, you know, a real problem here is competition. It's competition when illegal fuel enters the market at a rock bottom prices. Yeah, the legal fuel enter the market at rock bottom prices, and legitimate business struggle to keep up. You understand? And they can't sell at those prices and still stay actually profitable. So they are honestly hit by that. And it is not just the retailers, it is the wholesaler too. You know, they are all getting squeezed out of the market. So, yeah, and it's not just about the business. It's not just about the business, it's about all of us. Eh? Imagine filling up your car with the substandard fuel that could damage your engine. Uncle Bona just mentioned that there are people who complain about that. It increases emission, or even make your vehicle unsafe to drive. How do you know that is really, really safe? You might somebody go to Adem, you know? So you're not sure, because the others there are control measures are in place, you know, to make that this is safe. You know, not just for the vehicle, but even for your safety as well. So yeah, and all of this is happening because smuggled fuel bypasses the taxes and safety standard we rely on. So yeah. So what need to happen then? What can be done? You know, I think first off, Namibia's fuel regulators, especially the Ministry of Mine and Energy, so need to step up their enforcement game. I think that's also what the caller just mentioned. So the enforcement game. So the enforcement has to be stepped up. And I think this is an issue in Namibia. I think you get yourself, you got gray hair when you're thinking, when you talk about this. What we're talking about, two issues that are really main are disease in Namibia. It's implementation, it's enforcement, you know, enforcement, oversight and all that. So so that need to step up. That means better coordination with NAMRA, you know, Namibia Revenue Agency, and other law enforcement bodies, like police. So we need to tighten up border control and increase surveillance in the region most affected by smuggling. So, yeah. And also a bigger issue here, I think, which I think we need to look at more, you know, the price of fuel in Namibia. So it's too high. And while in the neighbor, there's just a price so low. It's something that maybe people that are in this market can tell us. The reason sometimes this fuel is not safe is just because of how it's been carried, you know, how it's been contained, how it's been, you know, it's carried in unsafe containers and things like that. And where they are stored, you know, I'm going to come back to that. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Morning, how are you?
Good, good.
Why our fuel, we live by our neighbors that mm-hmm. petrol, you know, I mean, the fuel is cheap. Yeah? So why aren't our government look into that, kind of talk with the Angolan government and see how we can get, you know, not ngungura in the way we're getting it now, mm-hmm. but in a more formal way, it must be much cheaper compared to where we're getting our fuel at the moment.
Yeah, but on the standard, it's not the same. I think they are refiners, they are using maybe those refinery or not the quite good on technology, because if you look at what happened to Botswana when they detecting that they got also that is dirty oil from Namibian storage.
Yeah,
there was issues in that in some of those cars were not covered by the insurance because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So but to look at where we are now today, yes, they can negotiating that because there are no more car flocking from different part of the world now. If you look at it in the car market in Namibia,
yeah.
So I don't know whether the insurance thing are still.
Do we see any records just to maybe not to disturb the process your thought processing, but we hear any kind of pile up, cars are piling up in Angola because of the fuel, or does the car in Angola adjust to that? We don't hear that there are problems in Angola in terms when it comes to cars.
Yeah, but the data in Angola is there. Because, okay, I spent almost 2 years in Angola.
Yeah.
And yeah, compared to, especially in Luanda and Huambo there. So if you go to Luanda, you're finding a lot of cars because there was a time they bought those cars in the United States, Dubai. Most of those BM and Mercedes, they standing on the road.
They're
not on the street because of those injectors. Because this fuel, they are depositing a lot of dirty, in the injector.
In the
The car is not pulling very well. It's not that it's a come up story. That's why I'm giving the example of Botswana when it was the dirty, and even Namibia when they also smuggling those one for NWR. It was also the same story that when they sending those engine to the expert, it is showing that it was depositing with the dirty.
There's many texts. I think you are on a point here. There are many texts that complain about the cars are not pulling, are not pulling very well. So that could be actually, and most of those, taxi driver, the one actually using the Ngungula.
Yeah, they start, but if you look at the fuel pump, for example, it's also one of the biggest affected. But we are talking about the engine here, the performance of the engine.
Of the engine,
The performance of the engine, two things. If the plugs are a dead sea, the car will not pulling, you want him to drive 120, it's forcing to be on 80, 90 there. So those, and it is giving a smoke, even a pollution, it will be something else. So that is where the problem of the refinery, we don't know when are they were getting the right standard of refinery, the Rubito one or whatever it is, but comparing to what is happening in those countries, Zambia, DRC, and Angola, they don't have a standard. As I say, these cars is a bank car. They're for financial lenders car. They are not your car. So you're having to work accordingly to the condition, to the terms of those ones, and so that they can maintain years of payment.
Yeah.
So that is what our standard is not really. Yeah, but for now, I don't know about those Chinese car, Havara, Cherry, and the others that are coming in, whether they are also covered by the insurance, or they are just buying on risk. That's another issue which is we have. But it was flocking, not only in Gungura. Yeah, people were trying through Walvis Bay, and that is what we are also detecting some of. We don't know where Angolans getting this oil, whether it's in India for refinery or is it in, but they have two smaller ones. One is in Luanda and the other one is in. Yeah, so those one, I know they're outdated because the one in Luanda is started in 1959. It's a long back. So those are the problems that is the posting. It's not really good oil. Yes, those who are using it, they can tell you the truth.
Yeah.
They know what is happening. Yeah. It's only that the diesel one is not giving much, but diesel, once they're affected, it's costing me thousands of dollars to repair your engine. So that is another problem which we have. It's not that we don't want them to do business with Angola, but the issue is the car market that we have.
Uh-huh.
We might end up, that is where the problem I'm saying. And to look on the
NIPDP?
PDP, the issue, this and now the thing, it look like is the same thing that we are talking about.
Yeah.
Because if you look at in the domestic investors are not much quite protected, by this. Invited people, because if you look at even the insurance that I'm talking about, we have known Namibian company that offer services or quality services of insurance in Namibia.
Yeah.
Because most of the companies that are coming in Namibia, they are big companies. They are parents. They have young ones. So if you compare yourself with the old Mutual, we have been in business for almost 90 years.
More than that.
It can offer cheap services that you cannot even afford.
Mm.
So, yeah, and that is what he, I was looking at it yesterday, that what about...
And that make it very difficult for any upcoming, you know, company or entrepreneurs actually to enter that market when you have these big companies actually dominating.
Mm. Yes, that is what I'm saying. If you look at if you getting data from Namibian Competition Commission,
yeah,
you'll finding that, because I look at them also the way they lose cases in higher court because of the price conflict that is happening. It's because in some of these companies they are really well prepared when they are coming. They are well funded when they are coming in Namibia.
Mm.
Yeah, they have partners, they have public offering, which is people are giving them money to come and do business. So to kicking us out, and I listen also to when you're asking Kathy about whether they are also considered about the domestic investors. And she jumped out into starting talking about outside.
Mm.
Well, we were wanting to know, because if you look at the biggest investor, which is GIPF in Namibia, yeah, it's not open for everybody into putting money in the GIPF so that you can make profit out of it instead of opening up a business, because your business will not survive.
Yeah.
Even if you go to Namibian Stock Exchange, it's the same thing, that they will not guarantee that you can be surviving formal marketing for 5 years. So they might end up not allow you to request a public offering.
Yeah.
So those are the issues that we cannot say the enforcement is protecting this market. It's not really, the police are not really applying the way it was supposed to do. Because if you look at Canada, between Canada and the United States, you will see the difference.
Mm.
Yeah, because there is also a supply chain there, which we don't have. For example, if you look at it now, Namibia is importing a lot of fuel product in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you are now wanting to get that in Angola, it takes time.
If the opportunity, let's say for example, we are open for businesses, if the opportunity is open for everyone, do we have now, do local companies really have a competition, have a chance at all? You know, shouldn't be there to say there are certain sectors, like what NAB does, you know, where they closes the door, you know, to allow, you know, the local, where we our local are producing, we stop importing that. So that should be translated to other sectors as well, to say, look, let's give our local people a chance to grow also. Because if you are competing with these well-equipped and strong companies, there is no chance that you will be able to get there at all.
Yes, that is what the issue we're having it now. Because as I say, some of these people, they planning things that they didn't look on the other side.
Yeah.
If you look at what we are fighting now, the SACU issue of this agronomic closing border. Thing, if you listen to what is the agriculture advisor of the office of the president of Ramaphosa, Wandile Soholobo, say Namibia cannot cross in its border because of the production it happens there.
Yeah,
because some of us we are producing more to supporting the Southern African countries.
Exactly. Yeah.
You see. Yeah. So I don't want him to hear that. That is now the SACU issue now.
Yeah.
And when we jump into Africa, to free Africa free trade, they are also arguing about it that, no, Namibia cannot cross the border because of we have a free trade. I can making my pumpkin in Uganda,
yeah,
and come sell it to Namibia,
mm,
in the pumpkin season.
You see? Yeah.
You see now. Yeah. Those are the issues that I'm saying. These people, they are planning, but to monopoling this policy, it will shoot you in the foot.
Yeah.
So those are the issues that I'm saying. Kathy also ran away from the question that, what are you considering about the domestic investors, whether you are protecting them or not?
Mm.
So those are the type of things that, it's a very quite interesting when I was with the Happy Juju yesterday, because she's fighting for domestic. She doesn't want to hear about outside. She, yeah, wants to hear about inside.
Yeah.
What is NIP DB doing for that? So this is a complex thing to Madam President needing to sit in and understanding that if the whole country end up now taken over by those,
yeah,
foreign investors, it doesn't say Namibians were not wanted.
Mm.
These people are coming with $5 million US dollars.
Yeah.
And we don't have a Namibians that have $5 million Namibian dollars into venture, even in a mining. So how now you are protecting your people to be a part of that? So, Mike, it's a very, very challenging to see the police that are published in the online, and so a person who is in Abidjan view it and say, this is a good opportunity for me to go to Namibia.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very, apart from that, the Ngungula issue. If you look at also the revenue that is making oil expensive, is the one that is motivating those people to purchase those oil.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So you must also consider about that. Does it help really much to overprice this thing? Because a lot of things that are happening in this country, even those products that are producing in the country, they are very expensive.
That's very
but
expensive.
But if you look at Namibia Brewery, you can see that it tries best to protecting his beer.
Yeah.
So, how many beers are coming from South Africa to come and competing, and how many beers are coming from Germany to come and competing with the Namibian beer?
Yeah.
But it's still on top of
it. Yeah, our beer is still on top. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, we need to sit and discuss with our business people, not just to say, this is what. Oh, we need to channeling, let us opening up our, but we don't, no matter we're opening up our national stock exchange, it doesn't help anything because we don't have a Namibian company that are there.
Yeah, yeah.
How can I invest in my company into the Chinese company that I don't know when it will be leaving?
Yeah.
Because we have already example of Ramatex Urana. Wait, what if I were investing in Ramatex?
Yeah.
So anyway, Mike, let's hear from others. But
all right,
that
no,
is the truth.
Yeah, no.
I'm not scared. Well, I'm not against people as they think. No, I'm just honest to telling you and comparing with other countries.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, no, thanks for coming through, yeah?
You're welcome.
All right. Yeah, 0833-66091. Yeah, you can come through, you know, you can either, you know, talk about the investment. I had an earlier discussion with Catherine Chipushu from NIPDB. Your investment in Namibia, overall in Namibia. So they have launched an investment guide that's profiling Namibia's as an investment destination. With all opportunities that are found in Namibia, so with all the sectors that investors can invest in, yeah. So yeah, what do you think? You can always add your view on that, and generally, you know, your understanding of investing in Namibia. So what any changes that you see because of investment, any changes in your community, let's be specific, any changes in your community that you can now attribute to investment in Namibia, that you can attribute now to say, yeah, I can see there's a change in my community, in my village, in what, because of the investment. So because when we talk, when you hear, when you hear official talking, they always said is to be able to provide, employment to young people, to be able to, to bring services to the people in rural areas or something like that. So my question is, has investment so far? You hear so much investment, you hear so much money that, but then you ask, what is the effect of that? Okay. Where is the effect of that? Yeah. So yeah, you're most welcome to go wild in any direction when it comes to investment. So yeah. And we're talking about Gungula. Eh? We are talking about Gungula. Yeah. So the other thing that I was saying is that, the price of fuel in Namibia and also the caller just mentioned it now, it's too high. And the people are looking for a cheaper alternatives. No wonder why, this is the case. So it is time now. Maybe is it time? Is it time that for the Namibian government to talk to the Angolan government? And and as he said, this is not. It also has to do with the quality of oil and how that actually work in our vehicle. So, very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Big Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, my brother.
Yeah, you are from that region. You must have a makeshift station somewhere behind you.
I was even arrested in December, my friend, in Angola. Then why are you talking about the Mongola? You see, for me, I like the method of Chinese how they operate.
Yeah.
Chinese, they have the quality, they have the medium quality, they low health, they lowest.
Yeah.
Like everybody is given a chance.
Yeah, so you can choose. Yeah.
You can choose if you are like a high standard, you can choose the high standard. If you are like can afford the middle one, you can do that.
And nobody if and they say, well, if you choose the cheap one, no guarantee. No guarantee.
No guarantee. How can you walk from town Chinatown to town?
Yeah.
To town. That's the problem.
Yeah.
The thing is that, Mike, the problem I think which we are finding in Namibia is that, we are not paying too much attention when it comes to Angola oil.
Yeah.
So, remember one thing that, all of us, we are here to survive. And we will not just survive because we are trying to find the space of what? SACU or what? Or SADC. Or whatever we're involved in. No, it's about our own people. First, we have to put in a priority.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about the priority must come Namibia first.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Because now, look, we are importing the oil from Wakata. And now, Elan makes sure that when he's going down, he's not going down alone. He's taking everybody, he's dragging everybody together.
Yeah. So.
Which I like that method because we can learn a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because now look, my friend, you will not tell me Oshkango where it is today. It's learned by what? If it was no Mongola, what is then? Eh? What else you can you put in Oshkango if it was no Mongola learning Oshkango? With keeping the standard of Oshkango, people to buy, able to buy, even the food, to buy,
put bread on the table.
Exactly, to put the food on the table, able to buy, to pay off the services for municipalities which is offered, offering.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if there was no Mungula, a lot of it is about to complain like now what is happening in the robot municipality. Because people cannot afford. They want to use the service, but they cannot afford it. The water bill will fill up. One more water will be ordered by municipality of Elana Fiji.
Yeah.
Left and right. But because of the Mungula, people are able at least to afford because they are making money.
Yeah.
We look at the underground operation, but sometimes this underground operation is keeping people running. That's why you see in South Africa some of the gang are being protected by the community. The drug dealers. Yeah, well, you cannot take him out. You face a lot of people.
And
it is what is happening in Oshkango. I'm telling you, everybody knows that these people is selling of petrol, or Ngongola. But he's able to even wherever they are made.
A policeman can turn a blind eye, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I will let you go this time, but I know, even tomorrow I find you, I will tell you the same story.
Yeah,
don't do it again. Yeah, don't do it again, but I will let you go. And the same thing also, when you look at the, now they're consuming the oil. Where's this oil now? Because the last time we heard the rumors that now the government are filling up with their with those oil which are conversion for the people.
Yeah.
You see now. And if it was transparent, we're supposed to see where the oil was taken out. Because last time they are even mentioned that in certain Namco is the one who are going to get those petrol so they can refine it in proper whatever. Now you're wondering, who's fooling who now? If these things are illegal, why are our government able to use it again? If it's illegal?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't make sense. So that's what I'm saying. If our government, they cannot pay attention to the pride of the people in the north, sometimes because neighbor for this light line, you can use it, advantage even, we are in the north. Saying, no, you guys, you tell us that you cannot sell our animal and what, everything which in the north is just not okay. So, can we be able to fill up a service with Ngungula? Those one who are willing their car to die because of the oil is not a good car.
It's their own problem. It's their own risk. That's where the discussion that one said. Let's make it more safer and more formal, because in the way how it is being, stored and transported in the container, it could be also very risk. You know, it create also the unsafe environment, not only maybe for your car, but also for people. Let's quickly go to the commission and then we'll come back. Okay.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai epetwa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una ovyu media peke. Uwondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe. Mumwe stoo. Kika ovinki nukukara norupa. Mondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Ola peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Ola peresente umurongo. Kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Ola peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze umurongo na ivari moshimariva. Itororela ondengu. Chima yu ungura na wakove. Na wina onyangukife. Ashiesho imba. Ke kupe oshimariva. Shishihina omarifiro. Imba. O maoronga neno uyeru haka enena itaku na wina rishangita jimon.
Alright, welcome back. Yeah, alright.
But the thing is what you are, I'm saying, guys, we have to look for alternatives, because you cannot tell me our liters is 20 something. In Botswana, the liter somewhere around even not more than 10.
Yeah.
We understand that their money is having more value. It's more stronger than Namibian dollars. But seriously, doesn't make sense. Even in South Africa, you can tell their petrol is very cheap. But in Namibia, because even our government alone is benefiting, like the $10 alone is going to the government. They have this Minister of Environment, But even if this board, that's the electric board, or whatever, yeah, they are adding $1 in that job.
That's the problem when we talk about diversification. When there are no other resources that are actually contributing to your coffer, so you trying to squeeze, you know, from taxes, you know,
which is making the poor person to be poor more,
exactly,
because we are squeezing what we doesn't have even.
Mm.
You see, and it is the thing what I'm saying. Our government, if they are not able to negotiate with Angola. And why we should do we not fill up with Mungula service? If they are not willing, opposition. Remember one thing that opposition, they are in the pocket of mostly South African, what, giant, how can I put it, retailers and those business people. That's why they are protecting that market for South African.
Or just maybe come up with it's a competition, it's an open market.
Yeah.
So what somebody who can say, look, I can discuss with Sanogo, what's the Angola's So and then I can have my station. I can also have my station that actually provides in a more formal way.
Those who are willing to come and they can come.
Who are willing to come. It's a competition, you know. So sometimes this is just a monopoly of these big institutions who actually said no.
What I'm telling you, in the North, our service is supposed to be filled with it from Angola. From Angola. Because the most, then we can able to have a cheaper oil.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you like it or not, that Mongolia is never going to end. Whatever, you can even build a big wall, the one which they built between Mexico and the Americans.
Trump's war.
The Trump's war, It will not work. People are just people. And you cannot just, we are looking for alternative way to survive.
Yeah.
And our government is making hard for us. I'm telling you, everything is come from Angola.
Yeah.
It's not good. We just have to look for South Africa. That's all. So now we are, you guys are even talking about the free trade. Now, what are we going to try to do with the rest of Africa as the Namibian people?
Yeah.
Apart from fish and, apart from our own material, what else we produce in the country? We are messed up in the agriculture.
Mm.
When it comes to manufacture, we are not good. What else? We're able to trade even with guys like a big country like Nigeria and others. If you're talking about free trade, when you open up for those people, do you think even the people of Okapana would survive? Because Nigeria, they will come up with a nice, good keto, nice, cheaper price.
Yeah.
And then you find it, what Singapore just did. Now everybody's moving to what? Nigeria, what? Somewhere.
You know, I was actually complaining, when was it? You know, we have a Choppies in Ongwediva. Outside, then they are actually selling Okapana, you know, outside of their shop, just outside. Just by their shop, they are selling Okapana. And I said, this shouldn't happen, really.
No. It's what I'm telling you with
This shouldn't Namibian happen, you know. Because the problem now, the problem is this, when I come to Choppies, then I will not be able now to go to my fellow Namibian and go and buy Kapana there because, you know, it's just in front of me here.
Why should they be selling
Kapana? Why should they even selling food at all? You know, in terms cooked food, there must be some laws that give our local people still a chance to make a living. And if you don't do that
when we are growing up, like me, I remember, 7 station there was no alcohol.
Yeah.
No alcohol, benzo, the service station. But now, it's there.
Everything is there.
You go to ShopRite, there was no growth, nothing. The only food, even toys, it was not there.
Yeah.
But my friend, everything is there now in ShopRite. Sorry to mention anyway, but this is the reality you are facing. Now you go there, you buy 30 kg even in ShopRite. You buy even a porridge. A mango porridge is there, cooking.
Yeah.
And the meme who's buying it, meme mahangu to go and sell it, who's cooking it, who's going to buy for her?
Yeah. Now ShopRite or Chopices are competing with the vendors in the street. Their prices are cheaper. So now, where do people go? They will go to Chopies or ShopRite or whatever, or Pick and Pay.
This is what I'm saying. If we are fooling ourselves, come on, Namibia is what? It's a free market. There's no such a thing.
Yeah.
You will not grow your own business.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you are the one who is still destroying it.
All right.
Because there's supposed to be a policy which is protecting Namibian business.
Yeah.
Look now. You guys even talking about insurance. We don't even insurance in Namibia. Only Born Life, which I know. And the sewer, government is not even coming with a alternative that is to say no. People, we are referring, like a government servants, we are referring to pick up with a Born Life.
Yeah.
As a Namibian product. But we are talking about even like a bank. There's nothing. Even we want to, Mike, we want to start up our own bank. We must have like a 50 million. Where we are going to get it? In a country like us.
Yeah.
We know where we come from. All of us, we are disadvantaged. Even now, we know there are people who are driving 4 million cars in Namibia. Yeah. We understand. At least we'll get the opportunity. But the rest of the people, they are swimming in the poverty. And our government is still not even coming up with a law to protect the Namibian. But how they, if they can do it with a Namibian meal, why they cannot do it with a street vendor?
Yeah.
Namibian meal is very protected. That's why we are buying. We used to buy a major meal from South Africa. I think it's, I forget the name, but it's in the name of like a Bokomomos, but I forget the name. There was something which we used to compete with the top score in Namibia. And they come up to protect Namibian. It's the same way that they do it with what? Chita cement. That is, if you remember, Chita cement used to come from Brazil, where I think it was somewhere around 32 or something.
Yeah.
Then there used to be Alpha cement from South Africa. Or Alpha something like that.
Yeah. Alpha,
They protect them. But why they not do the same with small business people?
Yeah.
And
when you look at and you can see that there isn't any startups that have actually grown. It's only few, the Indongos of this world. You're only talking about the Indongo of this world.
Those people are selling us even the dream, fake dream, which we are always saying, you know. He started with a sweet. How can we start with a sweet? Now we are selling around the world. No. Who meets you halfway?
He started with a sweet. So he started with a sweet. No. No.
It doesn't make sense. No. Not at all.
All right, man.
Let us give other people a chance.
All right, man.
Okay, thanks, man.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, he started with sweets. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. Yeah, just maybe just to, some key takeaway from especially the Ngungula issues that we are discussing. So, one Ngungula is what we looked at so far. Ngungula it's a cheap Angolan fuel, flooding northern Namibia, and it is growing, not actually shrinking, as actually he himself, even the police, you must just go and get Mr. So, because he said, well, I was also arrested because of that, so yeah. So you must go and get Mandume. He has said it on air. So, yeah. So it's not shrinking. Actually, it's not going down. It's as I said, it's an underground, industry that is actually growing, and something must be done. Not only in terms of enforcing the law, but also looking at what can be done. To solve the problem. So, and Namibia has a strong. We have a strong regulatory framework, and in most of this on paper. On the paper, yes, we have those policies, but consistent in terms of enforcement, that's one thing that we keep talking about. when enforcement on the ground remain a challenge, implementation remain a challenge. And someone have to sit down and say, guys, let's look at this. You know, let's look at why this is a problem. Why this is a problem. And I always said, you know, somehow, sometime in a chaos, there are those who are benefiting. In a chaos, there are those who are benefiting. And if they happen to be in a power, in an authority position, they wouldn't want anything to change. The longer it goes that way, the more you are likely, you know, benefiting. So, yeah, one have to bear that in mind. The other thing is that we also heard that there are service stations that have been already closed. Over 230 million lost in less than a few years. So the economic damage is also real, you know, and quantifiable. We can be able to quantify it. So yeah, the other big issue is the safety risk of informally stored fuel. They are very serious, but well, as he said, as also Manduma said, people are trying to survive. When people are trying to survive, they do anything that could actually put also their own life at risk. So, yeah. So that safety risk of informally stored fuel are serious, and in most cases, it's underreported anyway. So, and this is a public safety issue, which the ministry, I think, of mine and energy should look at that very, very, very serious, which they are trying to. Yeah. They're recognizing the risk hazard now, and they, especially when it comes now to safety of seized fuel, you know, by the police and so on. So where do you store them? You know? So, now, what you have to understand is that every liter of smuggled fuel is a direct leak from state revenue, you know, and from our collective public services. So, yeah, so it has to be looked at very, very, very seriously. So I think this is a critical moment for Namibia's fuel sector. If we don't tackle the issue of Ngungula, if we don't tackle it head on, we risk stabilizing the market. Definitely, we risk stabilizing the market, losing revenues, and compromising the safety of consumers. So, and the Ministry of Mines and Energy, alongside other agencies, has a big, big, big job ahead of them to protect the integrity of our fuel system. So, but we, as consumers, I think also we need to be aware of the risk as we're talking about it here, and make informed choices. Okay? So that's very important, that when you decide, you know what is the risk, and you know what to expect. So my question for you is what is more important? And think carefully. So what is more important to you as a Namibian? You know, cheap fuel that might harm your car, cheap fuel that might also help you survive, put bread on the table, or a regulated system that ensures quality but comes with a higher price tag. So, yeah, let's keep that conversation. Let's keep that conversation going. 08-833-66-091. All right. I am waiting on you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary,
wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, in yesterday's edition of the Villager, we had industrial brief. I think at this point, let's look at some of that industrial brief section from yesterday's edition of the Villager. That's your go-to source for the stories shaping Namibia's economy. Make sure that you subscribe for the Villager. Or what you need to do is send a WhatsApp message with your name and your email address to 081-241-44. 081-241-44. Okay. So, and we have got we have three big stories on the table from that section. So now the right. You know, first up is this one is a big deal. You know, the Bank of Namibia try its best to get investors, to play ball, you know, but most of them simply say no. All right. Here's the situation. Okay. So, and these are, industrial proof that you can find in yesterday's edition of the Villager. So now, the government has a bond. That bond, the bond is called GC26, and that is coming due in April. All right. What that means in a very plain terms is that the government owes investors their money back. So, and a lot of it actually. So we are talking about 1.9 billion sitting on the table. All right. So now, rather than pay all of that back at once, okay, rather than pay back all that at once, now the central bank tries something called a switch auction. Now, basically, it went to investors. Now, it went to investors and said, hey, instead of us paying you back in April, you know, how about you roll that money into a long-term bond, right? So we will make it worthwhile. We'll make it worth your while, you know? So that auction happened on the 25th of February this year. So it happened on the 25th of February this year now. And, and the result out of one point nine billion available, out of that, only about 141.9 million. That roughly 7% of that total was switched over. Now they are now those are the ones who said, okay, that's a good. We will take that. You know, we will roll that money into the longer term bond. Okay, and it's only 141.9 million. You know, that were rolled over. That's about roughly about 7%. So the rest, the investors say, no thanks. No, thank you. They want their money back as agreed. We want the money. They want their money as agreed. So what happened now? You know, now, as we're talking that the government have any other pressing issues, here is another one now. The government will have now to find 1.7 billion by the 23rd of April. So by 25th of April, the government have to find 1.7 billion to pay the investors. That is the hard deadline. All right. So that money needs to go back to investors and the government is going to have to come up with it. They have to come up with it somewhere. They need to find that money. They're already looking for money for, you know, you see, this is where now you're playing with. This is now where you become like, you know, how the cash loan from, okay, I'm going to cash loan for to get this money to pay this one, you know, and then when I cannot be able to pay that one back, I'm going to another one to pay that one back. So you actually just put your ball, the ball in the air, juggling actually cash loans. I'm talking now in terms of the government. Now it's just taking here and to pay that one, and you understand? Yeah. So this tells us something very, very, very important. When you see that, investors are not convinced enough by the interest rate on offer to lock their money away for longer. They're not. Probably they see, well, interest is not good enough. So, and that put a serious pressure on the national purse, on the national coffer. So we will be watching this. We're watching this one very, very, very closely to see how that's turned out. Now, story number two. So now let's moving on this. This one really put things in perspective. Okay. Namibia slaughtered close to 20 million chicken last year for local consumption, and it still wasn't enough. We slaughtered 20 million chicken, but that it still was not enough. Let's give you those number clearly. All right. In 2025, Namibia slaughtered 19.4 million chicken right here at home. Sounds like a lot, isn't it? But the country still had to import over 20 million kilograms of poultry products from abroad. We still have to do that. So that is significant gap. That's a really significant gap between what we produce and what we actually eat. You understand? So we're not producing enough of what we eat. So where did all that imported chicken come from? Well, the biggest supplier was Poland. Can you imagine? Poland sending in over 9 million kilograms. That is about, you know, that's about 45%. That's about 45% of all import. And then we have Brazil came in. Brazil came in a second, you know, Brazil came in a second at just over 5 million kilograms. And then you have South Africa. Of course, South Africa contributed about 2.45 million kilograms. So now, and then you have the Netherlands, Eswatini, Argentina, Spain, Ireland also made the list with the smaller contribution coming from a country as far as Uruguay, Thailand, New Zealand, and Switzerland. I think my question is that, you know, when, how do the health safety, how this chicken are railed, how do you say in English, railed of bread, not bread, breed, how they were breed? Is that the right word? How they were breed. So how do we know how they were? Do they come, you know, when they come already as iced, you know, product, you know? So how do we know how, do we go to those countries and see how they are breeding their chicken? How do we know that is actually safe? I think I'm getting worried. Really, really, really getting worried. If we're getting all this, I can take chicken that's why I buy Cadilla. I'm not advertising. I buy a Cadilla because I know, you know, these are, the health safety that this is going on. We buy Cadilla. I'm not encouraging. This is not, but I'm just thinking, how do we know how this, you know, chickens, poultry are bred in those countries? So seriously, and now, they said it's not just frozen chicken or either. It's also not just frozen chicken. No, Namibia also imported 474,000 live chicken in 2025. 474,000 live chicken in 2025. So, and of those 92, now of those, of those now 474 live chicken, the 92% came from South Africa. Well. So with South Africa, it's like they are selling us chicks And when our chick grown, so, and we also import other poultry product from them as well. So kind of like our chicks are coming from there. So even the chicks, the meat that we produce actually come from the chicks that are coming from South Africa. Mostly, as day old, chick really, to be raised locally. So those are smaller chicks when they come here. Now, the bottom line here is straightforward, right? It's very, very straightforward. Namibia has a supply gap in its poultry industry. And that's real. So now, I know you guys are trying to call, but I don't have much time. I need to finish this. So I'm not going to pick up any line at this point in time. So they are emerging, there are emerging local poultry farmers out there in Namibia, but they are still a small scale, you know, they are not on a large scale. The opportunity of growth is really enormous. Here is it money? Is it funding or what is it? Here now we can see there's opportunity, you know, for growth, enormous, so that we don't have to get actually this from outside. Where is the funding? Where is the investment that we're talking about? Eh? Oh, Namibia. If local producer can scale up, that is the money that stays right here in Namibia instead of going abroad. It's something for the industry and policymakers really to seriously think about. Policymakers, hopefully some of you are listening. Seriously, you know, we shouldn't take away their own power sometime, you know. Now, story number three, and finally, it's exciting news from the energy sector. So the Namibia Oil and Gas has just launched its second biannual industry report, and by all account, it was quite an event. It was quite the event. So the launch brought together, of course, you know, the who and who in that industry, the senior executives, the policymakers, the representative from financial institutions, and then the industry professionals. Yeah. You know, you always have those one, both local and international as well. So they were international as well. So, and that mix of people alone tells you something. It tells you definitely something that the world is paying attention. The world is paying attention to what is happening within in the land of the brave when it comes to oil and gas story. So now we have Sanye. What is Sanye Kortweg? Sanye Kortweg, a founding partner of Namibian Oil and Gas, spoke at the launch and summed it up well. He said the report is about sharing credible insight, strengthen collaboration, and keeping all stakeholders on the same page as the sector continues to grow. So, well, that's what we really, I think we need that. So he also made a point of saying that the information in this report should remain accessible to Namibians as the industry matures. So, and that's very important. Namibian must not be left out of their own energy story. We shouldn't be. Keep us abreast of what is going on. And also speaking was Veronique Herman, a CEO Africa provider of shore services, who drove home one key message. In a high-risk industry like oil and gas, you cannot afford to make decisions without reliable data. So that's very important. So she also called for greater collaboration between Namibia companies in the sectors, you know. So, and possibly the investment guide that we're talking about earlier would also then, as you said, look at also some sectors like this. Yeah, the report itself covers the key project exploration activities and supply chain development, giving stakeholders the tool they need to spot opportunities, okay? And understand where the sector is headed. So, yeah. So the problem is this. Sometimes when we have, and someone said, if you want to make a black man poor, you know, if you want to make a Namibian poor, you know, put it in writing. So they won't read it. All right? They won't read it. So, yeah, some of this report, and we don't pick up and read. And dear listeners, with major offshore discoveries still being developed, you know, this sector is really going to be a defining part of Namibia's economy, economic future, hopefully. So, and that is your industrial brief as it brought to you by The Villager. So, and I said, make sure that you subscribe to The Villager, and it's published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure you subscribe today so that, you know, you get your digital copy, you know, tomorrow. So 3:10 is the time, and that is actually a bell ringing that, hey, you should be out here. You should be out of here. So I'm going to leave you in a good hand of Tate France coming up with Kuthamosha. So let me say my goodbye at this point until tomorrow on the same station here on Eagle FM. So for me, Michael Chavelli, have a good one until tomorrow.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ompito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konaraje tatu imu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter.